C.
Ben C.
He's speaking. Oh, he fooled me. All right. Ben C.
My name's Ben, and I am an addict. And actually, this is Beth, because she told me exactly what to say up here, so I'm speaking for her. No, actually, it's good to be here, and it's so good to be here, so good to be clean. And I really want to thank the South Potomac area for asking me to come share today. Dog doo-doo. I always wanted to do that. I never had this before. My own interpreter, imagine. Anyways, so I'll probably get you a few times. But anyways, South Potomac area, I really want to acknowledge them for the work they've done, and I know what it's like being a part of this, and I know why they chose me to be this particular meeting as the regional speaker. As I am somebody from the region, but I'm also somebody from South Potomac area and got clean there. Went to meetings such as the Williams Center and Inspiration Group and some meetings down there, and I know what it is for those addicts in that area. I moved away about 4 years ago, and there's only about 10 or 12 meetings in that area. So this is just a tremendous undertaking to put something like this together, and I know they've done a lot of work. And I think, too, part of it was a thank you, because I took a leadership role back in 94, Shelter from the Storm. I'm kind of biased. I love that convention, and I thought we brought a lot of gifts to this area through that convention. I remember buying just about all, everything down merchandise. I bought the sweats, the shirts, the cups, the hats, everything, because I guess when you're part of it, you do that. But I remember, too, that we had some special things that went on that year, like a banner that lit up on a light show. I don't know if anybody was here, but it was pretty awesome. I remember Fast Eddie really gave it up, too, as our main speaker, as well as the other speakers, Peggy and I got his face. I can't think of the Friday night guy, but it'll come back to me. And also, another thing I want to acknowledge South Potomac area for is we were in this warehouse of archive stuff, this pile of broken cups, mugs, T-shirts, and stuff. And at that time, there was kind of a push in NA that our history is important. And I remember that year, that committee took it upon themselves to put together those boxes you see downstairs. I don't know if any of you have seen them, the different years and the different displays. And we were missing a lot of stuff. And a lot of you, we put out to the whole region that, hey, listen, we don't have a mug from the second convention, and we don't have a T-shirt from the third convention. And a lot of you all came through from all over the region with contributing mugs and T-shirts so that we got a piece of our history to save and to pass on. And I believe in our history, and I'm proud of our history. I'm proud of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. And not only am I grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, because if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, there's no telling what my life would have looked like. I'll tell you a little bit about what it was like before I got here, but I don't believe I'd be alive today if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous. But to be honest with you, I'm grateful to be an addict. And I think that took some time, that I am truly grateful that I am an addict. And it's only because of Narcotics Anonymous I can say that. If I wasn't an addict, I wouldn't have you all. I wouldn't have the 12 steps. I wouldn't have conventions to come to. I wouldn't have a home group. I wouldn't have a sponsor that I've known for 13 years. And love more than, I wouldn't have the relationships that mean so much more to me than relationships ever met before, you know. So I am grateful to be an addict. I'm very grateful to be an addict. And besides, I always liked hanging with addicts. Always. And when I thought about the possibility of getting clean back in the day, you know, it was like, wow, if I got clean, I'd have to hang with church people or, you know, or I don't know. I didn't know what it looked like. And it didn't appeal to me at all. You know, and then I come here and find out I still get to be with addicts. That's a great deal. It's a good deal. And I really believe that God has reached down. You know, God did not pick the wise, the rich, the whatever, you know. He picked addicts to bless and give each other. Give this love to each other. Give the 12 steps. And that's a gift, man. Most earth people don't know why they're on this planet. Some of them might, and some of them are way ahead of us. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of them that don't out there. Yet we have, you know, so eloquently put in our traditions, in our primary purpose, I feel like God has whispered in our ears, lost souls, a primary purpose for us, a meaning to our life. And that's good news, man. That's great news. How many people get that gift? And the gift is, and it's almost like a secret, stay clean. Help others. That's our primary purpose. What a gift. And also part of the message is to remember that as a primary purpose when other gifts come our way. Because Lord knows other gifts have come my way, like career and relationship. And what my sponsor told me, as well as you all, was that I could have those things in abundance. It's an abundant universe. But I needed to remember the priority order of things. Stay clean, help others, and then number two could be whatever I wanted. If I rearranged the order of priorities, I would lose it all. And if I wanted something like a boat and going fishing as number two, I could have that. But I needed to remember what my primary purpose is. And for me, at least today, April 21st, it is staying clean. And the reason I say that emphatically is yesterday was opening day of rockfish season, and I'm here. I'm just messing with you, but really, man, when I saw they moved rockfish season up, it was supposed to be next weekend, and I'm like, oh yeah, me, God, everything, we're all on the same page, and then they moved it up a week. I'm like, tormented, you know? God, why'd they do that? I want to be out there, you know? But the truth is, God is so abundant, and what a gift. I mean, all the choices we have, and all the abundance God has given. Before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I couldn't get out of the bathroom, for real. Now I got here to come to. I got the I'm going Monday, Jack. Let me tell you that. I'll be out there Monday, Thursday, Friday, and next Monday with Big Frank and Sam. Anyways, so God is good. God is abundant. And if I'm willing to keep my primary purpose primary, that there's a wonderful life in store for me, a wonderful relationships. People asked me if I was nervous about doing that, this up here today, and I told them, you know, I lied. I said no. And I really wasn't but until I got in this room. But anyways, I am now a little bit, but that's okay. But when I look out and see the faces here, you know, it's hard for me to get too nervous, at least not to feel loved, because I feel loved. I look out and I see people I know very well and that I love and have loved for years. And this is about the love in Narcotics Anonymous, man. This is a special kind of love. And I feel blessed to have that in my life today. I have a sponsor I've had for 13 years. And I have never, ever, ever felt closer to any human being in my life, ever, than my sponsor. And that's a gift. And through that love, I have learned to love others like people I sponsor. That's a gift, man. I have given a fifth step. I have heard fifth steps. That's deep, man. Back when I was using, to show you the difference between the love in here and those, you know, remember them blood brother friends that we couldn't get rid of? You know? I remember when I got here, they said, you gotta leave your old friends alone. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? We're like this. You know? And the truth was, my friend list of friends had drifted down to Charles and Wayne. That was it. And me and Charles were about done with Wayne. That's the truth. And the only reason me and Charles were like this was, I'm getting honest here, Charles would give me some of his spit-out methadone regularly. Y'all know what I'm talking about, spit-out methadone? Hell yeah, you know. And today I don't have to live like that, and I don't really want to be honest with you. You know, and that's who my friend was today, and my circle of friends in addiction just got smaller and smaller, and that's the beauty of this program, man. And here it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you're new here, I want you to know that you might not know too many of us yet, but you keep coming back. First of all, we want you to keep coming back. Really, I do. And really, anybody in here, I will give you my number and I want you to call. I really do. Maybe not at 2 a.m. unless your ass is burning, but I do want you to call. And I want you to keep coming back. And, you know, like I said, our primary purpose to stay clean and help others. You know, helping others is a big part of this program. And who doesn't want more love in their life? And I've only found that as more and more people join my inner circle or what have you, you know, talking about my sponsorship family and my wife's sponsorship family and the people close to us, it's just more and more abundance of love and intimacy. And that's a gift, man. I didn't know anything about intimacy when I got here. Nothing. Nothing. Matter of fact, my sponsor taught me a big lesson about intimacy when he taught me that the answer was really in the steps. And what he taught me was, actually it was, you know how we do when we come home from that meeting and we call our sponsor and we say, Bill, I think I'm in love. And what he told me was, you know, Ben, until you've done a fifth step, you are incapable of loving yourself. Incapable of loving yourself. So to love, say you love somebody else, I don't know. Could be another L word, four letters. But I don't think it's love. Could be a very powerful feeling too. But I don't think it's love. And I really believe he's right today because I really believe what he was talking about was until I'm willing, I mean, here's the program. This is how it works. Until I'm willing to do some work, and I'm not working for the U.S. government. I'm working for Ben when I work these steps. Until I roll up my sleeves and do some work on Ben, then how can I say I love myself if I'm not willing to do that? So then to love somebody else is a pipe dream, really. You know, so I really believe that today. That these steps are the solution. You know, simplicity is the key. And these spiritual principles, you know, it's my grand sponsor, Fast Eddie, that's actually back in 94, he said, you know, when you talk about these spiritual principles, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, the 12 steps, one thing he said back in 94, and it's still true today, and it'll always be true, and that's what he said. He said, you can take these spiritual principles, go out here on the beach somewhere and dig a hole and bury them down there and bury them up. And go dig them up 200 years from now, we'll all be dead, but those spiritual principles will still be strong. They'll still ring true. And I believe that today, that these principles are things I can hang on to today. I can hang on to that primary purpose. I can hang on to recovering addicts. The flip side of the intimacy thing and the love in my life is the pain that comes along with it. I got to tell you, you know, my wife works, most recent example, I mean, you get close to people. You get very close to people. And not all of us make it. Or some of us go back out or come back in or whatever. Actually, something about that I read in my daily meditation the other day. It said, you know, if you're back out there, it's not that you can't get back. It's that you won't ask. The love is here for you. You got to ask. God will help us if we ask. It's about asking. And there's something about shame and guilt that had me out there a long time. And, you know, the sad part about this program is seeing people go back out, and it really hurts sometimes. And I've been to some funerals in this program. One was my brother. My own brother died of an overdose. As a matter of fact, I had about a year clean. It was 1 week before my anniversary, actually, and, you know, he had been to some meetings, and, you know, he actually picked up a chip one time. Hey, I got 60 days. Came running up, got a chip, went in the back, then went in the bathroom, started throwing up, you know. But, you know, he didn't make it. And I remember getting that phone call that John Doe is DOA at DC Morgue. You know, it could be your brother. And I remember the feelings I went through going down there and seeing my brother dead. I was in denial, too. I went down there and I asked the guy, you know, hey, I heard John Doe looks like my brother. I mean, I don't know where he is, but I know it's not him. And he flipped through the papers, and I was expecting him to say, no, there ain't nobody here that looks anything like you, you know. So your brother can't be here. But he said, oh, okay, yeah, then maybe it's this one. And he wheeled it in front of the window, man, and there's my brother. You know, and he did not look good. You know how they say at funerals, he looks good, yeah. He didn't look good. This disease is not pretty. And, you know, the beauty is, though, that a lot of us don't have to go down that road. And, you know, and I was, to tell you the truth, I was way ahead of my brother when I was out there using, you know. And actually, I was the one, and this is some more stuff, part of my fourth step, I showed him how to use a needle. And I had to work through a lot of that. And he wound up with Wayne and Charles. He really did. That's the people. Those blood brother friends he was hanging with, Wayne and Charles, the day he died. And to show you what good blood brother friends we left behind, they dumped his body off at Greater Southeast Community Hospital and took his car and wallet. And I heard from them about 3 days later. You know, and I don't blame them, or, you know, I blame the disease. I know that's what I would have done. Nothing you can do for Steve. He's dead, you know, and hey, you know, a couple $100 here. I mean, you know, hell, I feel like shit. What do you feel like doing, Wayne? Duh. Dog doo-doo? Do that again. If I start lying, y'all just do this. Dog doo doo. What happened to that?
That was again.
Oh, again. Okay.
If you say it, I interpret.
Okay.
If you don't say it, I don't
silence. Gotcha. Well, just start signing to me. Oh, okay. Anyway, it's another kind of intimacy that we are blessed with. And when I'm talking about pain, it's some pain I'm going through today. And it's through intimacy. And it's about leadership. Our leader, Kevin A., I think it's appropriate that I say something about him today. He would have celebrated his 17 years today. April 21st is Kevin's 17th year. And this is a guy who came here, I mean, definitely our leader of our group, you know. I mean, talk about a role model, a guy who took life on. Middle name was Integrity. Priority, staying clean, helping others. Number two and three were rocking, though. Kevin had a business that was pumping. He had a family life that was rocking. And a network you wouldn't believe. And on February 19th, suddenly he was playing tennis, fell down and had a heart attack and died. And I miss Kevin terribly. I love him so much that the shock and pain that I have gone through and us as a sponsorship family have gone through, it's tremendous, you know. And I miss him. I mean, I was thinking about him today as Beth and I were running along the boardwalk. You know how you see somebody, the back of their head, and the guy even had freckles on his arm, you know, and it's like, Kevin. And it's just a very sad thing, but Kevin was, is, and will always be our leader. And I'm talking about our sponsorship family. As a role model, as he always was, I saw him in his coffin with that infinity chip. Have you all seen that? It's actually a chip with an infinity sign. Kind of looks like a sideways eight, you know, like that. And that's what I want. I don't know about you all. That's my goal. And through it all, through all the pain, you know, I got to admit that there are some things that have come to it, some gifts, and something so tragic, and that is the way certain members in our group have pulled together for each other and been there for each other. And the one day at a time principle being magnified in focus is, this is all we got. This might be the last time I hug you, Frank. You know what I'm saying? I might be gone tomorrow. You might be gone tomorrow. Makes life, man, precious when you live one day at a time. Makes every moment worth making a good moment if you can. Makes asking for God's help worth it. You know, and like that reading say the other day, we're in position to ask God for help. They are too out there, they just don't want to. They can. But we certainly can. Sometimes I forget to. You know, I need to keep this program simple. Simplicity is the key. They told me that if you never leave the basics, you don't have to go back to basics. And, you know, the basics of this program that I was taught was, don't pick up, go to meetings, and here's a good one, pray. You know, pray, it's almost insidious. They worded, whoever invented the English language messed up terribly. Pray. And like it falls out of the mouth, you don't even hear it. Now, a word like masturbate. Let's do that again. Masturbate. Keep it simple. Just go like this. Oh, you can do it that way. So if I start lying, y'all just do this, okay? But that word we remember, pray, I forget to do that all the time. It's like they should have renamed it something else, you know, something a little more memorable, you know? But it is so powerful for me. You know, I work in a research institute. And I've conducted my very own research protocol trials of noticing days that I prayed versus days that I didn't. And I don't know if there's a God. I'll be honest with you right now. I have no idea. I've never seen God, although I've seen your eyes. And I love what Bill shared yesterday, that how I do see God in your eyes. And I think that's so true. But the truth is, I don't really know. But I do know, as a result of scientific experimentation, that the days I remember to pray in the morning, and the two most powerful prayers are one-word prayers in the morning, help, and in the evening, thanks. The days I remember to do those two prayers, as well as throw in a few other things, keeping it simple, like go to meetings, try to help somebody, that my days are better. And the day that I wake up with that other prayer, you know the other prayer, right? My days do not go as well. I want to keep it simple. I don't need to get into any advanced recovery here. You know what I'm saying? I need to keep it simple. That is advanced recovery. I like that. The basics are advanced recovery. So if you're new, please keep coming back. And it ain't rocket scientists. People that have been clean, it's not like some kind of rocket science you got to figure out. Just keep coming back. But I tell you what, we'll be dogging you every step of the way, the same thing that dogs me every step of the way. Something Kevin used to say was, a mind is a terrible thing to listen to. And it is. My mind's always, and another thing he used to say was, there was always a committee in my head, and the vote was always 7-6 against me. Thank God my sponsor got a vote in there, too. You know what I'm saying? Thank God I run things by people before I act. I don't have to do what Bill says, but you ask him. I run it by him. That's very powerful, to run things by people in your network. I mean, I don't have to do everything he says, but I can at least be honest and loving to myself to share it with somebody and listen to what he has to say. So in keeping it simple and talking about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, a couple of things Bill had me do when I first got here was to be honest, you know. Like, did I really like drugs? Did I really want to use? Or was I an addict? And that was some powerful, powerful step exercises to do that. He actually had me have a list of things I want in my life. And that list looked like money, more money, a relationship, a career, a big boat, without rigors, and stuff like that, you know, health and family and all that. And then the question was, how did drugs support that list? We're just getting honest here. And the truth is, if one shot of alcohol kills 10,000 brain cells, and I have no idea what all that PCP I smoked did, a lot worse than that, I'm sure, then maybe one of my organs has been infected. Maybe. Maybe the same organ that thinks I want to get high. Maybe that same organ that can feel the urge. You know, the emotions are in that same organ that is very damaged. Sometimes I hear certain words and I can feel it again. Words that do it for me are glass pipe. I don't know what it is about that word. Or frosty mug. Or like Patrice was saying last night, the all those triggers, tinfoil, rubber bands, you know, all that stuff. And man, I can feel it. It's almost like a visceral thing, you know. I can feel the juices and all that kind of stuff start working when I hear that kind of stuff. Man, I need to get honest with it. Maybe I'm affected. Maybe I'm damaged. Maybe what I really want is the stuff on that list. Maybe it wasn't fun throwing up. I don't know. Sometimes I hear in meetings, I love drugs and alcohol. They just don't love me. I don't think it was love, myself. It was something powerful. But when I get honest, I don't think it was love. I think I truly loved Jenny, my dog. Even the dog used to look at me. I got to be honest with you. When I was in there doing my thing, you know what I mean? I had Scooter at that time. Would come in and just flop down on the floor and look at me with them sad eyes. And hurt so bad. I know he was hurting. And you know what? When I got clean, Scooter got clean. I started taking him on walks, and he had this little bounce in his step, and he's like, you know, I even took him to some meetings. So when I get honest, and another thing is fun, you know, I used to think that, you know, it's almost like we've been programmed through television that, you know, they never show people throwing up when they're trying to sell that shit. You know what I mean? They don't. They show happy, fun people. And I grew up with that stuff. It's almost like I've been programmed. This time was brought to you by, you know. That's what we call doo-doo. And the truth was, in the story I heard, in a meeting actually, was somebody talking about fun, and he said, isn't it incredible how insidious this disease is? Isn't it incredible that you give all the credit for the fun for the drinking? Because the guy was explaining, you can't tell me I didn't have fun. I remember I was on vacation in Mexico with friends, and we were doing shots of tequila, ha ha ha, playing the guitar, and we passed out, and it was fun, ha ha ha. You know, and the sponsor was pointing it out is, isn't it interesting how insidious this disease is, that you're given all the credit, what your brain remembers as this time was brought to you by, was the drugs and the alcohol. He said, you're not given any of the credit to the fact you were with friends, you were on the beach in Mexico, beautiful spot, on vacation. You saved up 2 years to go. You better have some damn fun. You know what I'm saying? You worked in a ditch for 2 years just to earn up enough money to go down there. Yet you're giving all the fun to the, you know, even a miserable person has fun sometimes, in other words. Yet your brain's telling you that was fun. And that same guy went back to Cancun, actually with some of his sponsorship family, and came back to report, you know what, you were right. I went back there, and I actually made a point to start the campfire at the same exact spot. We lit the fire, and we had a meeting, a bonfire meeting. And we shared, and, you know, and it was great. And not only that, I didn't wake up the next day with a hangover. I remembered who I slept with that night. That's a whole nother area of recovery. And, in other words, it really pointed out how insidious this disease is and how it lies. There's a whole lot of this going on out there. And I need to get honest. And I need to get open-minded. When you people tell me there's a better way, you know, I got to believe you. When you tell me I need to work through some things and work some steps, I got to believe you. A guy came to me up the other day. I got to talk about this briefly. About working and being open-minded. He said, you know, when Kevin died, he was working step four, but was right in the middle of it or whatever, so he's really on step three. And he said, what do you want me to do, sponsor, now that you're my sponsor? I told him, let's keep it simple. Quit smoking. I said that before one time, and the guy got a new sponsor. But Brian over there got how many days now? 9 days. You know, I know this program, you know, that ain't using. You can smoke if you want. You know, go ahead, light up. Just not in here. Or the fire marshal will throw us out. But, you know, I know Brian. I know what's important to Brian. And I was sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Because I'll tell you what, when I quit smoking, there was no other exercise on this planet that I could have done to learn more about step three. That's this addict's experience, about willingness, about turning it over. And I'm not talking about minute by minute. I'm talking about second by second. If you ever tried to do that or have done it successfully, you know. It's not easy. And the lie was, why give this up? Anybody heard that one? I don't want to give this up. I gave up all the drugs. Why give it up? Why give up stopping at 7-Eleven every day, pay how much do they cost now? I don't know what they cost. A lot. You got to take out a loan to get a pack today. Why give that up? That's a lie. Why breathe oxygen? Oxygen, good. Cigarettes, bad. That's the truth. And, you know, Brian was open-minded enough to follow that suggestion. And I don't know how he's feeling. Day 9, I felt a little better, I'll tell you that. I felt a lot better, really. The first 3 days were really hard. I mean, I'm talking about serenity prayer, serenity prayer, serenity prayer. But guess what? That's why God's there. Always. The phone line's never busy. He's there. I found out. I prayed often when those first 3 days. And then the next week was had its moments, too. And you're almost through that, too, Brian. I'm proud of you. You know, that's awesome, man. I want to acknowledge you, you know, and working these steps and being open-minded. He was open-minded to maybe more and more and more freedom is possible through working this program. And I believe that. And it's called the 12 Steps. The 12 Steps, freedom. The pyramid, the pinnacle, freedom. This is available to you. And if you are new here, you know, one story I want to share is about a guy who was, this was a guy, I was standing at the back of the meeting, and I remember it was at the Williams Center, and this guy had just walked in the rooms, right? I mean, he had been to maybe one meeting previous. And I was back there, and one of my friends was actually celebrating, and he had his sponsor, and he had his mother. You know, it was one of them anniversaries where they even had a singer, you know what I mean? One of them Williams Center meetings. And it was nice. It was a beautiful, I mean, there was tears, and it was like about 6 years or something like that he was celebrating. And I said to the guy, you know, I was like, you know, hey, isn't this great? You know, look at him up there celebrating recovery. And his attitude was, you know, yeah, it's easy for them. They all know each other. What about me? You know, how the hell am I supposed to get clean? They all know, look, they all know each other. They're all hugging. They all sponsor each other and all that. Yeah, it's easy for them. It's easy for them. And if you're new here today, it's easy for me. It's easy for Bill. It ain't easy, first of all, but it is simple. And my message to you is, we were all where you're sitting at one point. Every one of us in Narcotics Anonymous walked into our first meeting at one point and was scared. That's the price tag to get here. You got to work through that. You got to get honest with yourself. Keep it simple. Keep coming back. It works. And I don't know that I ever saw that guy again, to be honest with you, but I know that, you know, I gave it to him straight, you know, I mean, and I encouraged him to keep coming back. And if you're new here, man, I want you to keep coming back. I don't know, I was going to share, you know, mainly about fishing, but you all don't want to hear that. I will tell you this, out on the bay, if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use. You got it from Ben the fisherman. And that's a fact, Jack. Although white works pretty well, too. I'm talking about the color of your lure you're dragging through the water. And also, if you want to know where I caught the fish, the big one, I'll let you know. I caught them right here. Anyways, yeah, I'll keep coming back. I got you. A beautiful thing I heard at a meeting yesterday with Bill was Walston, when they said, hey, Walston, he said, well, I'm about done now. And they said, well, Walston, you got 10 more minutes. Walston said, yeah, okay, well, the truth is I'm really done now. And that was beautiful. But anyways, the last thing I want to say, and it's really to Kevin, our leader, because it was always, and I used to kid him about it all the time. He used to always end with this, and it's so true, that N.A. doesn't promise you heaven, but it will let you out of hell. And with that, I love you all. Thanks.
Yes, my name's Keith. I'm still an addict. And I really like to thank Ben for speaking and his humor and for being here for me, too, because, you know, this guy, when I came up here, I really was kind of dubbed just to come up here and do this. And it's kind of first, and all the phobias and, you know, apprehensions came in. But, you know, they say nothing's out of order. If you just sit still long enough, something will happen, you know. And this brother just brought it right around. I need to hear some of the things he said, and I need to see y'all faces too, you know. It's always good to be out. This is about my third year sharing or coming and being a participant at a convention down here, and man, it's just awesome, man. You know, my life has changed. A lot of things have been shared for him and Beth, you know, because he showed us how it works, you know. He showed us where it really began and what it takes to constantly go and be a part of something. And that's how I feel today. I feel that all my life I've been doing things, but I never truly felt to be a part of it. Today I can say I'm really a part of it. I don't have a fear of persons or people. When I cross these door sills, I know where I came from. And I try to keep that. He said that key word, prayer. You know, and I learned that a little prayer, a little power. No prayer, no power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. And I'm working in between a lot and a little. With that, you know, if anybody would like to share or have something they would like to add, the mic will be open. Be mindful of other people might want to share. If not, we can get the 9-day brother to do just for the day. And we can...